Yes, so I am Noah, and I've kind of been volunteering here and training under Pastor Dan and Pastor Matt for a while here for the past month, kind of testing things out to figure out whether or not full-time pastoral ministry is something God is leading me to do. And so they graciously gave me this opportunity to come and preach. I think both of them just wanted Father's Day off, and that was basically it. But yeah, happy Father's Day to all the dads and father figures. I am not a father, and so it is kind of weird for me to be up here preaching on fatherhood, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to be preaching on is, like we read, John 21, 15 to 19. And it's kind of weird for us to kind of hop into the very end of John, especially since as we've been going through Malachi. So we're just kind of jumping into this thing right at the tail end. But these verses have kind of been something that has struck me for a while now, in this idea of, do we love Jesus? Do we love Christ? And do we love him enough to follow him? Or do we just believe that he exists and that's it? These verses are the reinstatement of Peter. Previously, he had boasted during his time with Jesus about how much he loved Christ, how he was willing to sacrifice everything, how he was willing to give his life to follow Christ to the cross. And then his moment to test his faith, his moment to show that he truly loved God, he denied him. And he did that three times. And he walked away from that, remembering that Jesus had told him that he would deny him, and he walked away weeping, realizing that maybe he didn't love Jesus as much as he thought he did. These verses are Peter's second chance. Christ had died, he had been resurrected, he had conquered death, and he had even appeared to the disciples many times before this. And I can't imagine what would be going through Peter's head after denying Christ and then having him rise again, having him appear to him many times. And every time Peter seeing Jesus, remembering his moment of failure in denying. And so after Jesus has appeared to them many times, this is the beginning of chapter 21, Peter takes a bunch of the disciples and they go out fishing. Peter probably doesn't know what to do with his life now. He had denied Jesus. Jesus had appeared, you know, performed some miracles, probably did some teaching again. And Peter was the leader of the disciples, and he feels probably so unqualified to do it. And so as he goes out fishing with the other disciples, he's probably thinking, or at least I would be thinking in this situation, you know what, maybe I'll just go back to my previous life. I tried to follow Jesus, I tried to love him, but I failed. How can I continue to follow him after such a huge failure? I should just go back to what I was doing previously, go back to my job, go back to what is safe and what isn't challenging, what isn't hard. But then Jesus appears to them and they have a meal, and this is where verse 15 starts us off. And when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" This is the first time that Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" He will ask him three times to kind of counter those three denials that Peter had previously done. And this first one is pretty interesting because it's kind of vague. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? What are these? Some scholars think that these are the other disciples that are with them, in Jesus almost asking, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Or do you love me more than these disciples say they love me? Personally, I don't think that's what the these are. Not that I'm a Bible scholar or anything like that, but this whole comparing to other people just doesn't seem to make sense in my head. So the second kind of interpretation of what the these are is kind of the one that I lean towards more, and that is that these are the fishing stuff and Peter's fishing boat. And I think this tends to fit a little bit better given the context of what had been going on. We know that Peter had gone out fishing after Jesus had appeared to them many times, after the resurrection. This is the beginning part of chapter 21. And we know that that was Peter's previous life. That was his occupation. That was his job. That was where his financial security was in. And it seems to be that Jesus is asking Peter, do you love me more than your job, than what is safe? Do you love me more than financial security? Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. This is a completely different response than when Peter had asked another person whether or not they could give up financial security for Christ. And that was the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16. Where the rich young ruler asks Christ, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, go and sell everything you own and come follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sad because he couldn't give it up. Because he loved money, he loved his job, he loved the safety of finances more than he loved Christ. And Peter's response is drastically different in that he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know that I could give all this up. But words are not enough, because Peter had previously boasted about his love for Christ, but then failed the test when he denied Christ. And so Jesus' response to Peter's words are, feed my lambs. Peter, you say that you love me, now go and prove it. But how does he prove it? What does feed my lambs mean? I had to do quite a bit of reading and research on this because, again, I had no idea what this meant. And what I found is the feed is spiritual sustenance, spiritual food, the bread of life, Christ. And the lambs are young, new believers. And I'll expand on this as we continue to the other questions. But what Jesus is basically telling Peter is, you say that you love me, now go and share the gospel. Go and tell people about me. You say that you love me, but are you willing to give up your job and money to go and share the gospel with those around you? What's more important to you? Preaching the gospel, bringing people to Christ, saving people's eternity, or money? I am not an evangelist. I am terrified of telling people about Christ. It scares the crap out of me. Especially when I think about those like street evangelists that can go and just go up to anybody that they see and be like, do you know Jesus? And then like share the gospel with them and then they're saved. I'm like, that blows my mind. But it's what we're called to do. And now not all of us are called to give up work and to just leave everything we know. Some of us are called to evangelize at work and have that be our mission field. And for kind of example of this, what kind of hit my mind as I was reading these verses was my dad. Now, my dad is not an evangelist either. He's a truck driver. And he spends most of his days just driving around the United States and Canada working, hauling loads from one place to another. He doesn't get to meet and talk to a lot of people because he's in his semi traveling around. But while he's there, while he's driving, he prays. He knows that he's probably not going to come across a lot of people. And so he prays that those he will come across will be opportunities to share Christ. Most trips, he doesn't actually share Christ with anybody. He just goes about his work, he prays, and he'll maybe chat with some people here and there, but there's really not any huge moments. It's just another day driving the semi. But then there are moments where God answers his prayer. And he'll be at a truck stop or he'll be at a place to unload a load and somebody will come up to him and just start talking to him, mostly about how clean his semi is because my dad's pretty anal about that. But they come and they talk to him, and my dad has an opportunity to share the gospel, the good news of Christ with them. And sometimes, you know, they kind of walk away thinking about what he said. Other times they kind of deviate the conversation because they don't want to talk about it. But he uses that as an opportunity to share Christ. He's willing to give up his time that he could be on the road traveling, that he could be working. You know, my dad wants to get home as soon as possible to be with his family, to be with us. But he takes the time to give up on the road, to spend time with people, to share the gospel of Christ. Because he loves Christ. Because it's so important to my dad that people know who Christ is and Christ's love for them. So are we doing the same? Are we praying for opportunities to show Christ's love? Do we love Christ more than our job and making money enough to go and share the gospel? That was the first question. Second time, Jesus asks, verse 16, again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Slightly different question, Jesus asks. And a more distinct answer Jesus gives to Peter's response. Take care of my sheep. Take care is pretty self-explanatory. Take care. Sheep, we look to the rest of the Gospels and Jesus' teaching about Jesus being the good shepherd and us being the flock, his sheep. Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter said, and Jesus said, then go and take care of fellow believers. Then go and love those who are my disciples, who are part of my body. Now, the take care is kind of more physical needs. That was kind of the interpretation that the research had given. And we can kind of go to two different sides with this, as is often the case, is we can focus too much on taking care of people's physical needs and almost turn the gospel into this social justice. As long as people are healthy and have clean water, then that's okay. Or we can move to this other direction of, well, we don't really need to take care of those things because those things are temporary. We just need to tell them about Christ, and then the rest will work itself out. And both of those are wrong extremes. We need to find somewhere in the middle. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here, in that he calls Peter first to go and share the gospel, and then second, to take care of people. After all, the second greatest commandment is to love one another. And what better way to show our love for one another than to take care of each other? John 15:12. I'll quickly turn there. You guys don't have to. John 15:12, this is Jesus speaking. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. I've often read those verses, and I look at it, and the first thing that pops into my head when thinking about giving up one's life for another is a soldier. Soldier jumping on a grenade for his fellow soldier, or diving in front of a bullet. And I've thought about that, and I'm like, Could I do that? Could I die for somebody? And I started thinking, and I was like, I could. I could easily jump on a grenade or take a bullet for anybody, because I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. And I've thought about it, and I've never had an opportunity to test that, thankfully. But but I started to realize that, where's the love in sacrifice in that? If I'm dying to go to heaven, I'm dying out of selfish ambition. I'm not dying for love because I'm not giving anything up. If anything, I'm gaining something. I'm gaining eternity with Christ in perfection. So how does that show love? So I started thinking about what it means to give one's life up and this idea of taking care of one another. And I realized that giving up one's life is not just jumping on a grenade or taking a bullet for somebody. It's giving up your lifestyle. It's giving up your wants and desires. It's giving up what you want to do to care for somebody. It's sacrificing your time and effort to serve. Again, I think of my dad. And I think about all the sacrifices that my dad has made to care for me. My dad, because he's a semi-truck driver, he's off at work kind of 5 days a week and then home for two. And he comes home and he's normally pretty exhausted from driving. And often when I go home, he'll take that time that he could be resting, that he could just be relaxing, to help me fix my car. Or to take care of some other physical need that I have. He gives up money that probably could go to his retirement to help put me through Bible school. Giving up a life of, I don't know, is retirement luxury? I don't know. I'm not retired. But giving up what could be a great retirement to help care for my physical needs. And so are we doing the same? Are we loving one another? Are we being obedient to the second commandment by loving one another? By caring for one another, by looking for areas to serve one another. How can we build up the body of Christ? How can we serve the church? That was the second question that Jesus asked. The third one. Verse 17, the third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. Now, the word love here kind of changes in the Greek, and I'm going to butcher this because I know absolutely nothing about Greek. But the first two times Jesus asks Simon Peter, do you love me? He uses the Greek word agape. And it's a term for love that was solely created for God's love for us. It's this general, all-encompassing, self-sacrificing love. But this third time, Jesus asked the question, do you love me? He uses a different word. He uses the Greek word phileo. And this word is a brotherly, personal love. And now there's a lot of discussion on whether or not these changes in the word love are have actual deep theological significance or whether Jesus just got bored of using the same word and wanted to mix it up a little bit. But looking at the scripture, looking at the progression of these verses, I think the importance of this change lies in Christ moving from this abstract general love to this personal friend, do you even know me, love? And Peter's response is mind-blowing. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Peter is saying, Christ, look at my heart. Look at my soul. And see that I love you more than anything. As I was reading that, I was hurt. Because I know that there are moments where I can't say that. There are moments where I don't love Christ. Where I love my sin or I love my safety so much that I just put Christ on the back burner. This is a challenge for all of us, and I think something that Christ asks us every day. When we wake up in the morning, Christ is asking us, do you love me? And can we say, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. You see, these other two questions, the other two The other two ways we show love, by sharing the gospel or by taking care of one another, those can be faked. But to examine the heart, we can't fake. I can go around and preach the gospel because I'm with other Christians and I want to look good. I can talk passionately about anything and fake love. I can go up to any single one of you and start talking about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and I can be really passionate about it, saying that, you know, like they're the best team ever. But in my heart, I know that Winnipeg Blue Bombers are the best in the league. I can fake passion to try to fit in with those around me. I can even take care of people, but do it out of selfish ambition. Do it because I want something out of it, or do it because I just want to look good, because I want people to praise me for the sacrifices I'm making. All of these things we can fake, but to look at the heart, you can't fake. It's when love becomes real love, is when we can say to Christ, I love you because I love you. I don't love you to look good. I don't love you to get something out of you or to try to earn your favor. I love you solely because I love you. Because you first loved me. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Now, I mentioned before that feed is talking about spiritual sustenance, the bread of life, right? Christ. And sheep, I mentioned in the second question, as the body of believers, as those who are in the flock, who are part of the family of Christ. So this third time, Jesus is saying, "Peter, I know your heart. I know that you love me. Now go and train and disciple those to do the same." Don't just tell them about the gospel. Train them in the gospel. I think of the saying, give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. And we're not just called to go and tell people about Christ, tell people about the gospel, and feed them spiritually for a moment or for a day. We're called to teach them and disciple them, so that when they walk away, they have the ability and the capacity to feed themselves. To know the importance of Scripture, to know the importance of prayer, but to not do it dutifully, yeah, we'll use that word, but out of love. Out of desiring to grow in their relationship with Christ, to know him more, to have him as their personal friend and father. My dad is, again, my example of this, in that, as a father, he has made it his point to train and disciple me, not just spiritually to become a man after God, but just in everyday life. Teaching me to take care of my car, while also teaching me the importance of reading the Bible. Teaching me how to handle finances as well as knowing how to pray. We are all called to train and disciple. So, first question Jesus asked Peter is, do you love me more than your job and finances? Do you love me enough to go and share the gospel? And the second question Jesus asks is, do you love me enough to love each other, to give up your lifestyle, to give up your wants and desires to serve each other? And then this third time, this final time, Jesus is asking, do you love me with all your heart? Are you wanting a personal relationship with me? And are you training and discipling those to do the same? And this brings us to verse 18. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. As I was reading these verses, the first picture that popped into my head was little kids at church. Now, my home church back in Manitoba, we have a lot of really young kids, like you guys do. But your kids are a lot more tame. Kids back home run around like crazy, and half of them are only wearing half their clothes. It is sheer pandemonium. But as I was reading this, that picture came to my head. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. These little kids, they run around and they go wherever they want. They run up on stage during the sermon. They bang on the drums after service. And they dress themselves or decide not to dress themselves. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hand and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go. When we are young believers, we sometimes run around not really knowing any better, doing whatever we want, and taking care of ourselves. But when we are older, when we have matured in Christ, when we have been discipled and trained, we stretch out our hand to Christ. And he dresses us. He takes care of our physical needs. He gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can go and love and show people him, and most often leads us where we do not want to go. All these three things, giving up our job and security, giving up our lifestyle to serve others, and training and discipling, are all things most of us probably don't want to do. But we're called to do it out of our love for Christ and out of our love for each other. Because life isn't about us and what we want. It's about Christ and glorifying him. So, do we love Christ? And are we willing to follow and serve him wherever he is leading us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love for us. How you don't call us to do something that you weren't willing to do yourself. You call us to sacrifice and to give up. Because that's what you ultimately did for us on the cross. God, I pray that you would lead us to be obedient to you, to examine our hearts, and to work each day to love you more.